News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
Mark Hennessy, the Ireland and Britain editor of the Irish Times, is with us to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not yet have seen. And we start, Mark, with rumblings in and around the DUP, because there are more and more concerns, allegations, suggestions, suspicions about the level of knowledge in respect of Geoffrey Donaldson's either criminality or inappropriate behaviour that was known throughout the party before the criminal conviction was undertaken by the PSNI. Edwin Poots now, to some degree, in focus.
Well, yes, but it's evidence of inappropriate behaviour as distinct from any evidence that they knew anything about the particular case for which he was jailed. So to be clear on that, having said that, it is clear that people in the DUP knew that Geoffrey had a drink, Donaldson had a drink problem, that he was inappropriate in his behaviour towards young women on many occasions. And there were certainly some knowledge of the fact that there were homosexual tendencies of some kind as well. Now, quite how broad all of that spread is another question, but it's clear that, and in one case, we know that Ian Paisley Jr. Knew of some inappropriate behaviour, but then tried to use that as leverage to ensure that Edwin Poots got a particular job at one particular point in time. So, you know, these things tend to get fairly messy when you start going.
But as you say, it all points to a knowledge or insight into hypocrisy rather than
criminal conduct. But nevertheless, the hypocrisy is pretty staggering. And Donaldson's behaviour, when you look back on hindsight, and obviously there are a lot of people out there who are now claiming that they knew an awful lot more than, in fact, they did at the time. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, Donaldson in 2009 was responsible for a child safeguarding document, and he spoke at a press conference in Stormont. And when you look back with 20 years or nearly 20 years, and you wonder what thoughts were going through his head at the time he sat at that microphone, if any at all. I mean, was there any sort of recognition going on? It is quite staggering.
Also wonder what was going through the heads of his victims, knowing that he was saying that kind of thing in public when he had done what he had done to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, the case that led to his downfall was one that was simmering away for years before the people involved were able to come forth to the police and to make a complaint.
There's also been calls for a police ombudsman to investigate, to look at what the PSNI knew. Do you think any of that will lead anywhere?
It's difficult to tell. I mean, you do have a situation where some political parties in Northern Ireland are going to seek to use this for raw political advantage. That's the nature, the brutal nature of politics. Because DUP voters are in play in a way that they haven't been before. Because people will see that the party is damaged. It will almost certainly handle a lot of these things badly, because frankly, that's what the DUP does. Because they approach these things oftentimes with a degree of arrogance a hatred of being questioned. So, you know, their instinctive response tends to be wrong in all of these things. And those votes are in play. The Alliance will see that there's some opportunity for a sliver at the left end, if you can argue that such a thing exists within the DUP. But more importantly, the traditional unionist voice and Jim Allister will see major opportunities to take a slice of the vote at the other end. And if we end up in a situation after the next Assembly elections in Stormont next year, where the TUV are a significant player in Stormont, that's going to raise an awful lot of questions about the operation of the protocol, the framework document, and indeed the operation of the institutions as a whole.
We will watch this space. Meanwhile, in sort of heading from a sublime to ridiculous end of the spectrum, a mysterious vigilante has emerged in Mexico. He is known as the Mexican Batman, and he's taking a stand against bicycle theft.
Yes, he is hunting down suspected bike thieves, and he's taping them to lampposts. And he is then marks them with graffiti describing them as rateros, which is Spanish for thief. And he then paints cat whiskers and mustaches upon their faces. Now, there's part of this that appeals to me, I confess, given that we have 5,000 bike thefts reported to Gardaí every year here.
And
that is a reflection, or that is a fraction of the number of bikes.
Now, I don't know about you, but maybe I'm focusing on the wrong thing, because there is a picture that is doing the rounds of two of what are his victims, which is two young men who are duct taped to a lamppost. The practicalities of duct taping two people simultaneously to a lamppost must be very challenging.
I would suspect that there's more to the story than we know.
He's not acting alone.
I suspect he's. Yeah, I think there's probably lots of angry bike owners in Mexico.
I'd say the thieves are at least thinking twice before they whip out the angle grinders. Now, interesting story in your own paper, Dr. Meirish Houston writing about AI. And of course, AI now becoming a significant source of information and guidance. I mean, something to the order of 15% of people now using it for mental health advice, but about 30% for health, and it's worrying.
Yeah. Indeed, I mean, the chat boxes, ChatGPT, Gemini, Grok, Meta and DeepSeek were each asked 50 health and medical questions. They had a reasonable degree of accuracy on things like vaccines and stuff like that, largely because there's a whole pile of information out there that these people are able to steal, which is exactly what AI is doing. It is stealing the work of people who have actually gone to the trouble of writing it in the first place. So these things, and it's even more inaccurate on other information. Anything that's kind of open-ended, it seems to struggle with.
But I thought Houston was interesting in the nature in which it struggles, because one of the things that he said was, effectively, if it is a computer that asks it the question, it tends to be very accurate. But people are bad at asking the right question and spotting when the answer is actually given to them.
Well, that's the point, and which you would assume would tend to highlight why you need to talk to your doctor, because most people are not good communicators. And in many cases, you will find doctors struggling to understand what it is that the patient is trying to tell them and having to go back and back and back. But when you see people going to AI looking for mental health advice and life choices, I mean, frankly, there are times when you think that a very substantial number of people shouldn't be left out every morning unaccompanied, you know?
Finally, news on the Republic of Ireland's home Nations League game. It is going to be the home in the oddest sense of the world, because it's now taking place in Serbia.
Yeah, in a very remote part of Serbia with a capacity of 4,000 people. So basically, everything is possibly being done to ensure that as few protesters go there as possible. Now, it's kind of ironic, because in those of us who were knocking around the Balkans in the late 90s will remember getting dogs abuse from Serbs after the FAI and the government cancelled the game, the Euro match against Serbia. And in those kind of places at the time, you always thought that if you had an Irish passport, you'd kind of get a bit of a free pass. You know, I'm only a paddy, I'm fine, you know. And every time you produced a pass, you ended up getting absolute dog's abuse.
I think the FAI does require some kind of an award, though, for best euphemism, because in their statement they said that they have moved to neutral territory due to operational challenges.
They are. I feel a degree of sympathy for them. You know, this is not an issue of their making, and they're on a hiding to nothing almost, but whatever it is that they do. So the sooner it's over, the better.
Mark, thank you very much. If you have a view on anything this morning, 53106 or 087-1400-106. That was Mark Hennessy, the Ireland and Britain editor of the Irish Times.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.